The pastor had asked me to speak because he did the wedding for Rebecca Eads and Joey Grossman this afternoon. That took up his afternoon. And so he made a call to the bullpen. So here I am. I'm ready to go. I was prepared for this. And so I thought I would take this opportunity to share some things the Lord's been teaching me and share those things with you. I hope it's a blessing to you as well. All right. I'm going to end up in Galatians. It'll take me a while to get there. If you have to have something to turn to, you can turn to Galatians. All right, I have a riddle for you guys. And so I'll test and see who knows the answer to this riddle. I'm going to give you three clues about this person, and then I want you to try to guess who it is. And then the way you're going to guess, don't tell me. Just tell the person next to you, or if there's no one next to you, I've already thought of this. If there's no one next to you, you can just write it down on a piece of paper, or you can just know on the inside that you were right. I'll let you do whatever, okay? So I'll give you three clues about the person. You'll try to guess. Then I'll give you another clue. You try to guess. And I'll give you the last clue. And by then, we should all know who this person is. All right. This is one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. Okay? So who is this person? Number one clue. The angels prophesied about my birth. An angel prophesied about my birth. Number two clue. I have average appearance. My appearance is very average, and I would be—I wish I had average appearance, but unfortunately, I'll just stop there. All right. So this person was prophesied by was prophesied birth by an angel, looked average, and number three, this person was a Nazarite. Okay. I haven't given you much to go on, but I want you to turn to the person next to you at this time and make your guess, and I'll give you 30 seconds. Go ahead. You guys think you know who it is? Yes? No. Although that was a good guess. That was a good guess. Okay. Here's the next clue, and then I'll give you guys another chance to guess if you don't already have the right person. God greatly used my flaws to accomplish his will. So this, what we know, this person was prophesied by an angel, their birth, they looked average, they're a Nazarite, and God used them. God used their flaws to accomplish his will. Okay, 10 more seconds. You can guess the person next to you. Da na 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 na. You guys know who it is now? I'll give you one last clue. This might seal the deal here, hopefully. The person was known for their supernatural feats of strength. You know who it is? Samson? That would be a great guess. See, the Jesus thing, that could have worked a few minutes ago, right? Prophesied by the angels. Remember, he slips through the crowd and they don't even recognize him, so he probably looked pretty normal. And he was a Nazarite. He's from Nazareth. He's from Nazareth, right? He didn't take the vow of a Nazarite like I think John the Baptist would have. So anyway. Okay, I stand corrected once again. That's like his full-time job is correcting me. It makes him very tired some days. All right. Yes, that is correct. It's Samson. Samson's the one you want. So, yes, okay. Just so now we have the same person. Tonight, we will learn about the temptation of living in the flesh, doing what I feel as opposed to what God wants. And this is borne out in the life of Samson. And I'll talk through the book of, I'll start in chapter 15 of Judges, but I'll talk through it, and then I'll go to the New Testament in a minute. We'll apply what to learn from this. So remember, Moses leads the people out of bondage, and they leads them towards the promised land. And then the first generation disobeys, they wander the wilderness, they die off. Then the second generation comes. You have the second giving of the law, you have Deuteronomy. The next generation gets up, and they will enter. And they're led by the young, spunky man named Joshua. And Joshua has the can-do attitude. And Joshua is always telling them, don't be afraid, we can do this. And so Joshua, I think, is a very upbeat guy. I think we would have liked Joshua if he was around here. Okay? He's telling them, be courageous, don't be afraid, you can do it, God can help. All these things he's saying, they're very positive. That's why we love quoting Joshua to someone who's discouraged, right? Because Joshua's a can-do guy. So they will enter the promised land. Now their job is to divide and conquer the land. Unfortunately, though, the people don't necessarily take the stand against sin in the book of Judges the way they should. And a lot of times they'll befriend idolatrous people and people that are very wicked, and they tend to marry with them and make deals with them and business arrangements. And then you have all kinds of problems. And God will send in judgment. And then they have to cry for deliverance. God delivers them. They confess their sin. Things get better for a while. Then they fall back into sin. So we have this endless cycle. But one phrase that's repeated several times in the book is, during this time, the Bible says there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what they wanted to do. They had total freedom. This was the complete libertarian society. You know, no government. They didn't have all these taxes. They were free to do whatever they wanted to do. And unfortunately, with all this freedom, they squander the freedom that God had given them. They could have had a delightful life if they had followed God's law. But unfortunately, they chose to disobey God. And so God had to raise up these people called judges. And a judge isn't just someone who makes rulings like Judge Judy. It's not this. Some of it is judgment, but a lot of it has to do with they are leaders of the country, spiritual leaders, moral leaders, leaders in battle, this kind of thing. And one such man was the man Samson. So Israel has fallen into idolatry in chapter 13. The Philistines have been oppressed by their enemies for 40 years, and so God will bring about the supernatural birth of young Samson. And God comes to his, or the angel comes to his parents and tells them that they will have a special child that will be a deliverer. And they tell him that he needs to, he's a Nazarite. Okay, good. We have nodding heads here. He shouldn't be touching grapes, carcasses, and he can't cut his hair, which for some of us wouldn't be a big deal. But anyway, he's supposed to show his, yeah, there we go. I like it. I don't do as much cutting now. I do more like mopping and that kind of thing. So we're going to get back to the sermon now. Okay, so he's supposed to remain unique and separate from the world in his decision-making, and unfortunately, he fails to live up to the assignment that he's been given. And because he fails to follow God, often he puts himself in very dangerous places. Okay, as he lives by the flesh, as he follows temptation, he'll go far from where God wants him to be. And so God had a special purpose for Samson's life. He was supposed to be a deliverer of his people. You know, God has a purpose for every one of our lives. God has a mission for each one of you. And we have success when we do God's mission for our life. And for each person here, it looks different. God's given us different gifts. God's given us different burdens. And just like your gifts may be different than my gifts, God has a different mission for you. But what's important is that we're doing what God commands us to do. And we're following the burden that God's put in our heart in the ministry that he's given us. And so God has given a special mission to Samson. Now, Samson didn't really want to do it, so God brings conflict into his life so that he will follow God. We get to chapter 14, and not far away from where Samson is Timnah. And it says that he sees a beautiful lady, and he's in love. Oh, she's just so attractive. He's all about sight. The Bible warns us about living by sight. And as believers, we don't live by sight, right? We should live by faith. And you can't judge people by their outward appearance. You know, how many times do you make a quick judgment on somebody and you get to know them and you were completely wrong about what you thought? Or have you ever written off somebody and in the end they're the one that comes through and helps you? And you thought, why did I write this person off? They're really my friend. I just didn't realize it at the time. And so it's important that we don't live by sight. We don't just judge people by their outward appearance. And so, but Samson is living by sight because he's living a fleshly life. He wants to do what looks good and what feels good to him and what appeals to his senses. And so he decides to marry this woman. Now, back then you had to have a parental permission, which I think is a great idea. And so he goes to his parents and says, I'd like to marry this ungodly woman. And she's attractive. That's his way of describing her. Nothing about how she acts. And so they say to him, now Samson, our son Samson, there's plenty of nice girls in Israel that are Christians. Wouldn't it be much better to have a Christian wife? Which is just logical, right? If he's a Christian man, having a Christian wife, this will make life a lot simpler for him. And he says, no, I want this lady. And so they fold like a lawn chair. They're like, well, I guess we don't want conflict, Samson. We'll do whatever you want. And so his parents are weak, and they go along with a horrible choice that he makes. And so Samson will proceed to marry someone who is not a believer. Samson's life serves as a warning to all of us. Christians should not live in the flesh. Living in the flesh is the easy thing to do, right? You don't have to. Your flesh will drag you all kinds of places. Living in the flesh isn't going to be a conflict. Living in the flesh is just a way of giving in. I don't have to read my Bible and pray to live in the flesh. I can sleep in the morning. That's easy, right? It's a much easier thing to do. I could be cranky and live in the flesh. I can just say whatever I think and be angry and upset and not think about how the Spirit wants to work through my character. I can give in to my appetites and say and do things that I shouldn't. If I live in the flesh, I don't have to stand out from the world. I can blend in. I can fit in with an unsaved coworker, an unsaved neighbor, or maybe an unsaved relative. I don't have to be different than everyone else. Okay, I can laugh with them at their jokes. It's fine. This reminds me of my favorite ancient Chinese proverb. You want to hear my favorite ancient Chinese proverb? Okay, no? Okay, well, sorry. Okay, it's going to happen, so you might as well be good with it. Here it is, my favorite ancient Chinese proverb. The nail that sticks up will get hammered down. And when we stick out from the world doesn't know what to do with us, do they? And a lot of times they react to us. And sometimes it's hard to be the one nail that sticks up. I'm not going to go down. Everyone else is down, and they're not doing the right thing, and I'm not going to do that. Well, you're going to get attention for being different, aren't you? And if I'm living in the flesh, I can fit in. But if I'm filled with the Spirit, I have to be different. You know, sometimes we like to live in the flesh. We like to have our own answers for life. You know, I can do things the way the Bible says, or I can do the ways that I think. What's my wisdom say? Okay? I don't need input. I can just tell you what I want. Yeah, it's always dangerous to think that you know more than someone who's omniscient, right? Because God sees everything. Samson thought he saw everything, you know? She looks good, she'll be nice, I'm going to do this. And we'll see in a minute how this turns out. But it's easy for us to make the decisions in our own flesh, to trust our own selves, to think that we're sufficient. But when we live in the flesh, this is a very hard, very terrible thing, and God doesn't use this. I want you to see, secondly, in Samson's life, that living in the flesh has dangerous consequences. Living in the flesh has dangerous consequences. So Samson decides he's going to marry this ungodly woman. Okay, his parents have given in. They should have stood up to him, but they don't. Perhaps they're living in the flesh too. Who knows? And so Samson's on his way to the wedding when he sees a lion, a young lion, and it says that he rips it in half. This is a supernatural act of strength, something that God gave him, right? People that saw him never knew where his strength came from. So we know it wasn't his physique that was doing this, okay? He says that the Spirit came upon God, and he just rips this lion in half. Crazy, right? Sets it down, visits the woman, talks to her, makes arrangements. Then as he's leaving town, he goes by that same lion, and he finds a bee's nest inside, and he takes honey from it. So the day of the wedding comes, the week of the wedding, they had a whole week to get married and to be entertained and have a big feast and the whole shebang. So he's at the wedding, and he has all his best friends there. His best friends are all his Philistine companions. Ooh, your best friends are the world, okay? These are not the people you want to hang out with, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. So here he is with his wrong friends, and they're hanging out, and they're getting kind of bored. And so he says, I got something for you. We can match wits here. So I'll give a riddle, and here's the deal. If you can guess the riddle by the end of the week, I'll give you 30 pieces of clothes. But if you can't, you got to give me the 30 changes of clothes. And so they say, okay, fair enough. So the riddle, he tells them, out of the strong came something sweet, and out of the eater came something to eat, referring to honey from the lion, okay? And they don't know, and they're confused. And back then, clothes cost a lot of money. Clothes were expensive, right? Because they're all handmade. They took months to make. You couldn't just go to the store and buy Faded Glory for $7.95 or whatever. You actually had to work at this, and it couldn't just be like Walmart, right? They didn't mass produce clothes back then, so very different. And so the week goes on, and they're not getting any closer, and they're frustrated. And so they go to the wife, and they say, get them to tell us, and we'll pay you here. And so she begs Samson, and she cries. Little crocodile tears, and Samson melts and tells her, oh, don't be mad at me. You don't love me. Anyway, so he'll melt and he'll tell her. And then when the end of the time is up, he asks the men, do you know what the answer to the riddle is? And they tell him, and he says, you asked the wife, didn't you? He says, you were plowing with my ox. That's his idiom for asking them, although using the idiom ox for a wife, I don't know how wise that was. But anyway, he gets really upset, and he has to pay the 30 pieces of clothes. Well, he doesn't have them. And so he heads off into the Philistine territory. He kills 30 men, and he goes to pay it off. And the time that he's gone, they think that he's left. They don't really care for him. And so Samson's wife is given to one of his companions. And this makes Samson very upset. And so Samson's angry, and he will catch 30 foxes. He puts torches between their tails and sends them through the wheat field. They light things on fire to show his anger. Well, this makes the Philistines angry. So he's angry. The Philistines are angry. Back and forth it goes. And they respond by burning Samson's wife and father-in-law. And so Samson now is very, very upset. And he will attack the Philistines. And he kills many Philistines. Now, the Philistines decide that they don't like this, and so they want him arrested. So Samson runs to Judah. Now, in Judah, there's 3,000 men. So he has, you know, the cavalry is here, right? He thinks he's safe. And so he goes to Judah. There's 3,000 men. They can all fight off the Philistines together. Well, guess what? The men of Judah aren't so spiritual. They say, you're causing a commotion. We just want to get along. What's the big fuss? And so they will tie up Samson, and they will turn him over to the Philistines. Gasp. These are his buddies. They should be helping him fight the enemies of God. They're not helping. He's stabbed in the back by his own family, his own friends. And so it says that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him once again. He will break the ropes. He finds a jawbone, and he will use it to kill 1,000 men. Whack, 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 whack. And there's piles of bodies. And when he's all done, he just makes a poem about how silly this is. Samson, often when he speaks, he'll speak in riddles because to him, life is a joke. He has all this strength. He doesn't take anything seriously, which will cost him later, as we know. Okay? So he makes this poetic speech, and when he's done, he's really hot and he's thirsty, and he says to God, "Ah, you want to kill me? I don't have the water I need. Make water come out of the ground," which I think if I were God, I'd be like, no. But God is gracious and merciful, and so he lets the rock proceed with water, and Samson's thirst is quenched. What can we learn from the example of Samson? We get to our scripture, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." My question to you is, where are you sowing today? Samson's life was ruined because he made fleshly choices. He entered into a marriage that he should never got himself into because he followed his flesh. And what was the result? His wife, he was never ever to be able to live with her in a normal situation. And it cost her life because he got mixed up with the world. Getting mixed up with the world will cost him his testimony. And someday those men will come back to kill him. So Samson makes wrong choices, and it hurt him and cost his life. We can also live in the flesh, even as Samson did. And there will be consequences for us as well. Now, it may not be the exact same consequences to him or in the same timing as him, but our past choices often come back to haunt us. And when we fail to follow God, we miss out on the joy that God wants to give us and the blessing. Samson could have had a much, much happier life. And when we fail to live in the Spirit, we live in the flesh, we fail to point others to Christ and bring God glory. If I'm in the flesh and I'm not living the fruits of the Spirit, I'm not reflecting Christ to those around me. I'm not living Christ in front of my little girls. They need to see Jesus in me. They should see my life and it should point the way to Christ. I shouldn't point them away from Christ. I think about even my wife. She needs a Spirit-filled husband that can be loving and understanding and gentle to her. And that can encourage her. She needs encouragement. She needs encouragement. She's married to me. She needs lots of encouragement, right? She needs the help to be the mother that God wants her to be and be the wife that God wants her to be. And I think about my testimony in front of my neighbors. If I get upset over little things, what does that show them? Do they see Jesus in me? Can I invite them to church? You know, some Christians can't invite their neighbor to church because they're ashamed. They don't want their neighbor to even know because they're ashamed of their life. I hope that's not true of you. Hope that you're living a life that's Spirit-controlled. You know, Samson's life could have been so much more. You ever think about what if he had chosen to follow God's word? What if he had truly lived up to the vow that God had given him? What if Samson had been a man of prayer? Can you imagine all the pain and heartache he could have avoided? Let's not make the mistakes that Samson made. Let's be Spirit-filled believers. Let's confess our sins. We know that sin can keep us from having God's presence. We think of 1 John 1:9. Let's be confessing our sins that God can cleanse our hearts. Let's be people of the Word and prayer, walking with God each day, having Him guide and direct us, and empowering our lives. I hope that God helps us to avoid the disaster that was Samson's life. Question for you. Does the Holy Spirit feel at home in your life? Have you received Christ as your Savior, the first step? And then do you live for Him each day? I hope the Spirit feels at home in your life. I hope He belongs there. I hope He's not feeling like He's getting crowded out by the world and maybe entertainment, wrong attitudes. I hope that He doesn't feel like He has to compete with, you know, what someone at work might think about you or might say about you. I hope that the Holy Spirit feels right at home in your life and is able to help you make wise choices so that you can avoid the disaster of a life of corruption in the flesh. May God help each one of us to make right choices and live for Him. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. And Lord, I pray that it would speak to our lives. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would have free course. Help us to realize that there's nothing more important than living for You. And there's no greater life than a life of service for the Master. And Lord, I pray for anything in our lives that we hold out, anything, Lord, that takes Your place and steals Your glory, I pray that we would get rid of that we could have a closer walk with You, Lord, and experience the joy and blessing You want to give us. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen. You have a song?